your phone there. If you need a Wi-Fi, you can see the signal there, Hardin Valley Church, and just click through there, and please use that if you like. Luke 16, and we want to talk a little bit today. I'm going to read you a story here and then help you out. It's a couple of verses. I think you can stand for it. If you wouldn't mind standing, and we'll pay honor to God's Word. Luke 16, and I'll try and read them, then we'll explain them and see where we are. Verse 1, we're at the end of four stories. He's told three and really put some fine points on things. He's talked evangelistic. He's talked about what does it mean to turn from your sins and turn to Christ. And so he's done that in chapter 15. He's talking about lost sheep. He's talking about lost coin, lost son. And he switches gears. He's still in that same mode. We've got a chapter division, but there's really no break in thought. Except he goes from talking to, it changes audience. He changes from a lot of people, particularly very religious people who weren't Christ followers, who weren't right with God. He turns from them, and he turns to the ones who are already following him, and he's going to help them. Verse 1. And he said also to disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, a manager. The same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. He thought he was incompetent. He's not doing what he's supposed to. Verse 2, and he called him and said to him, how is it that I hear this of thee? He's an absentee landowner kind of idea. He's put this guy there to manage things. He checks up. Someone has come, word diabolo, he's been accused, like a slander. He's been accused. Somebody's come to you and said, you're just messing everything up. Give an account of your stewardship, your managership, for you may no longer be my manager, my steward. I'm going to fire you. You're going to lose your place to live. You're going to lose your salary. You're going to lose your good name. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord takes away from me the managership, the stewardship. I can't dig. He's a white-collar worker. And to beg, I'm ashamed. He's too proud. He didn't want to go hungry, so he's stuck. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. Who's he talking about? So he called every one of his Lord's debtors, the master, the owner's people. Anybody owed him money, and said unto the first one, how much does he owe unto my Lord? Verse 6, and he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill, sit down, and write 50, half the bill. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take your bill and write 80. 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely for the children of this world and the generation wiser than the children of light. He says, hey, well, I thought you were an idiot. I thought you were no good at what you did, but apparently you're pretty sharp. And so he commends him for being evil. Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard? And the guy basically, in that Jewish culture, he knew if he did a favor to these people, that they would owe him a favor. Nod your head if you follow that. And he wanted a place to stay because he's going to lose his job. And so he does this without his master knowing. His master finds out and he says, hey, well, wow, look at that. Verse 9, Jesus says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon, money, worldly goods of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you in everlasting habitations. I'm going to work you through that. It's a little hard to parse there. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Again, we wouldn't say it like that, but I'm going to help you. Verse 11. If therefore you've not been faithful in unrighteous stuff, money, finances, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? If you won't do it as a manager, who in the world is going to give you something to own? No man can serve two masters. Here's a verse we all know. For either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's God and stuff. So I want to help us this morning. I want to help us today. I want to help us to be faithful. God is faithful, and I want to help us to be faithful. Faithful in doing the right thing. Faithful in how we live. I want us to be faithful. Faithful in our finances. I want to be real, real practical today and help you out. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, from front to back, left to right, speak to our hearts. Help me to preach in such a way that I'm easily understood, and I pray that you would convict us. I pray that you would encourage those who are already on this path. I pray that you would turn around the folks, Lord, who have not been listening to you. And maybe for the first time, some folks today will kind of, it'll make sense to them. And I pray that everyone will be obedient Spirit of God, move in every heart. I pray if there are those that are here today who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today, Father, they would turn from their sins and put their faith and trust in you. Lord, for those who have recently come to Christ and accepted you, I pray that today, even today, they'd make that public, Father, and we would be able to rejoice with them. Now, have your will and way in our hearts right now. I ask it in Jesus' precious name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I'm going to be faithful in my financial life. It's a funny thing to me. When we do this, we have one every February. Every February, and some of you are going, if I had remembered, I wouldn't have come today. We try and encourage generosity. It's hysterical, you know. You go to some places and you go, when you don't talk about politics and you don't talk about race and you don't talk about religion, and you for sure don't talk about finances. Finances and all. Some of you right now, you used to enjoy talking politics, but you can't do it anymore because people ever loving lose their nut and lose their mind and say, well, preacher, don't you know that you shouldn't talk about finances in a church service? A church service. And I'm like, nope, I really don't know that. Because the Bible talks a good bit about it. Jesus talked about money 16 out of 38 stories or parables. One of every 10 verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he talks something about finances. About 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but about 2,000 verses on money and stuff. Why? Because we every day interact with money and stuff. We interact with houses and rental houses where we rent. We interact with going to Walmart and going to Target and going to Aldi and going to Big Lots. I'm out of stores here. And going to the mall and looking at stuff we don't need and stores we don't want to approach to buy stuff that we're going to return later. Can I get an amen from anybody? And we do this, and the Amazon people, you know, just they should send us Christmas stuff, you know, because you know, the trading we do with them, because it's just easy. I mean, anybody you like ordering something and it's there, and you didn't have to go anywhere. I mean, you wish somebody else would pay for it. Okay, you can put your hands down, and we're there. We talk about these kind of things. It's interesting. You say, well, preacher, we shouldn't do this, we should do this, or I don't want to do this, or it's going to make me uncomfortable, or I'm scared to do this, or I'm broke, or I'm loaded, or whatever it is. Let me help you. There's some reasons we shouldn't do this. Here's some reasons we shouldn't do it. Number one, because we had a terrible year last year. We shouldn't do this. And that's not the case. In the 3 years I've been here, and I'm a 3.5 years, best year we ever had was last year. Best year we ever had as a church. Financials last year, we came up just within a razor's breath, actually making budget. Now, we've had an awful January, but we had a great last year. You were very faithful. We did well on our Christmas offering. We've got all the plans laid out. Mr. Evans helped me here, and so we need about 6 or 7 folks, and we're going to start getting the pallets in. I'm going to ask them to start bringing the pallets in. We're going to get you to do that. We're not doing this. Now, there's a time and a place for that, but that's just not where we've been. We're not doing that. By the way, if the only time you ever talk about finances is when you're in crisis, how many of you understand that in your home you will stay in crisis if that's the only time you ever talk about it? It's too late to do something about it then. Nod your head if you're with me there. So we're not doing it because of that. We're not doing it for that reason. You know why? Because stewardship's not about raising money. It's about God raising His children. When you understand and acknowledge that your car and that your truck, and that your home and that your boat and that your clothes and that your children and it's your family and it's your job and it all belongs to Him, then that's God raising us up. How many of you believe you can be greedy with a dollar and you can be generous with $100,000? You can be tight-fisted with 20 cents in your hand. You ever tried to pry something out of a 2-year-old's hand who didn't want to give it away? And you go, well, they're just being immature. Being immature. Well, that's the way it is with us, isn't it? It's about God raising His children, about God raising His children. If you do this, people are going to get upset and leave. People are going to get upset and leave. Apologize. There's nothing. Hopefully, that'll be the last time I adjust my britches. I'm sorry. I hate people who do have ticks, and I don't like them. I don't like them when I do them. I'm at that weird weight loss point where I'm before going to the tailor's and just about to have a wardrobe malfunction. But I know it's annoying. I'm going to stop doing it. Thank you for putting up with that. Nod your head if you're with me here. Time in, and we're back to preaching now, okay? So people get upset and leave. I've done this, I think, all the years I've been here. I do it one more time because I think it illustrates my point. Well, preacher, if you do this, if you talk about this, blah, 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 then folks are going to get upset and leave. Let me help you. I've never known anybody who really was plugged in, who got upset about being encouraged for what they're already doing. Nod your head, you follow that? Never met anybody like that. Now, I've met a whole lot of people who weren't real plugged in, and they got all mad. So here's the math. This is John Maxwell said this years ago back in the 80s. I heard it as a teenager. I've got the book he says it in. I think it's fantastic. Can you do a little math with the preacher right now? Can you do a little math? I mean, you may need a pencil for that. You may need a pencil or a pen or something like that. So Riley, can you help me? You don't like math, but you can do this. Can you just stay right there? You stay right there. All right, so Riley, so if we're worried about folks gonna get madly, preach talking about generosity. And if we talk about generosity, folks are going, money, right? I don't like that church because they talk about money. Now look, nobody driving, you know, how old is my car? I got a 12, 13-year-old car. I have at least 3 oil leaks. My next door neighbor is mad at me because I park in the road and it keeps leaking. I keep waiting for him to come over and scrub it. And if you're watching on video, I'm sorry, but I know that you're thinking that. You think what you want, but anyway. So here's a little math problem. If folks gonna get up and leave, then they're probably contributing what to the ministry? Anybody? Zero. Some of you remember from last year. Zero. All right, Riley, write that down. Zero. And if they're going to get mad and leave, what are they going to do, Evan? They're going to take what with them? Zero. Now, Riley, I need you to do the quick tabulation there. Zero minus zero is what? Zero. He had to double check his figures. That's the cook in him, not the Holloman. And it's my wife's maiden name. He double checked his figures, and zero minus zero is zero. Now, if somebody's not doing anything and they're complaining about being encouraged to get on board and to follow what the scripture says and to invest their time, their talent, their treasure, and testimony, then why are we really upset that they're leaving? Is anybody with me here? If they're taking their zero with them, then what in the world am I fretting about? What in the world am I upset? We shouldn't think that way. Listen, if you let the whiners run your business, the whiners run your home, and God help us, if we let the whiners and the gripers run a church, we're in trouble. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Do you believe that? No. People get upset. I don't think so. That's if they do. Yeah. The third reason is somebody says, well, you shouldn't talk about stewardship because the church always grows financially as it grows numerically. It always grows financially as it grows numerically. And that's not true. It's not true. Last thing to arrive at church is generosity, and it's the first thing to leave. People get a little mad. I had to stop saying it because I really offended somebody last year and visibly, viscerally offended. But I'm not a mind reader. Not a mind reader. Anybody here, any men in here married or almost married? A few of you, sort of married. If you got to look, you're not either married or almost married. All right. You ever gotten in trouble for something you didn't know and you didn't know you didn't know? You ever been there? And then when you admitted you didn't know, you got in more trouble? Is it just me? Anybody? Some of you finally raising your hands, and some of you didn't raise your hand because you knew you would get more trouble as soon as I'm done preaching. And I'm just not a mind reader. I don't know. I don't know. I said that, and somebody really horked off with me, and that was fine. But anyway, you know what? I don't know. Well, you say, well, you know, this is going to be, and this is going to be. No. It's the last thing to come, and it's the first thing to leave. You get one little thing wrong, and then, I'll show them. I'll quit being generous. I'll quit being obedient to the Lord. I'll quit being faithful in my time, my talent, my treasure, and my testimony. Well, that's not true. Commitment's not automatic. Commitment's never automatic. Maxwell says again, the last thing to arrive at church and the first thing to leave is giving. It's giving. Commitment is not automatic. It's not automatic for you. If it was, we wouldn't need 400 kind of diets. We wouldn't need 300 all-night gyms. And excuse me, we wouldn't need to have fancy equipment and dietitians. We wouldn't need to go to the doctor. And the doctor say, you either change this or else. You do better or else, right? Commitment's not automatic. Not automatic. We said last week, faithfulness is hard. It's rare. That's why you overschedule people to work with you. That's why you don't count on folks. That's why you can't give money away sometimes to get something fixed on your house. They won't show up. Bless our hearts, and I don't think we have anybody here who works for the cable company. If you do, forgive me, but that's why they say we'll be at your house between 8 and 12 one day this week, maybe. And, you know, that's the best you can hope for, right? Best you can hope for. Oh, some of you do work for them. Never mind. And you're better. You're the exception, not the rule. But it's hard. Commitment's not automatic. So with that in mind, then why should we talk about generosity? Why should we talk about this? Why should we talk about that? Let me just throw, because this helps us. This helps me get back on track. This is what we need to do. We want to get on board. We want to go forward. Between West Emory Road and the Goddard School, or the Hardin Valley Academy. I keep saying Goddard School, Hardin Valley Academy. Up there, between 50 and 65,000 people in this area. You start going toward where the Tings live, start going down the road, you encompass that, you're in about an 85,000 mark. And again, you got all those businesses and all those places here. There are scores. There are tens of thousands of people who could bike ride to this building. And we got to be on point. We want to do this. We want to do this. We're going to do this because it's going to stretch us. We're going to stretch us. Say it's easy to be stretched if you got plenty of money. I don't know. I think when you're running over, you're like, I might lose it. Say, well, you know, I'm broke, I'm poor, whatever. I don't think there's ever an easy slot. I think it's always a stretch. Always a stretch. We're coming to this. Can I be real transparent with you? We're coming to this and people just destroyed our home in North Carolina and just finally got the bill Thursday, and man. But I'd already committed to the Lord what we were going to do and doing differently and all. And I gulped real hard sometime Friday night and said, you know, it's where we're going to be. But God, I'd rather do this with you than try and do this without you. And we'll be all right. Going to stretch us. Some of you are scared to death because you're lousy with your finances, or you're scared with your finances, or maybe you're behind on something. And you think, man, if I really was time, talent, treasure, and testimony, then you... Somebody'd say, well, you know, well, they're really committed because they attend faithfully. Or they're really committed because they got a Bible. Or they're really committed because I see them reading their Bible app on their break or something like that. It'll stretch you. It's going to stretch us. I suggest to you that if you'll take this seriously, and some of you have, by the way, some of you, this is your second go-around, your third go-around now, or some of you that have been here for a while, and you're just, man, I can't believe what God's done in my life. And you realize this is when God stretched you, and this is where you got to grow. This is where you got to grow. It's going to help some of you take that first step because you're going to hear from other people, and you're going to see other people, and you're like, man, this is wonderful. This is amazing. And they've done it, and God's blessed them. God's blessed them because it's scary sometimes to be faithful with your time and your talent and your treasure and your testimony. And some of it's going to help us re-up. It's okay. I'm good. I'm good to go. I'm excited about this. By the way, I've watched young people take a $10 allowance and give a little bit from that and watch them as they get into adults, and God has done marvelous things with them, and they are encouraged about that. And some of you are like, well, does it make any difference? Does it mean anything? And God's saying to you, yes, and it helps you recommit. We're going to ask you for a commitment of your time, your talent, your treasure, and your testimony. Why? Because all of those are there. Some of you can write a check easier and give your time. Time's real precious to you. Money's just a number in a bank somewhere. I ask you for a commitment. Say, why you ask for a commitment? Because Jesus asked for a commitment, and Jesus worthy of our commitment, amen? And Jesus worthy of all the things that he's done for us, and we owe him, and we can love him. And this is one of the ways we serve him. What we did this morning's act of worship, what you'll do in these weeks ahead. And so we're going to do this. So here we are. Good stuff, amen? You ready? Oh, me. All right, here we go. So what does the story do? I think story is real simple. Story's real simple. It's not what you possess, but it's what possesses you. It's not what you possess, but what possesses you. It's not what you possess, but what possesses you. All of you watching this morning, all of you going to watch later on, it's not what you possess, it's what possesses you. See, what do you mean? Well, that's what it is. There are three characters in the story. There's the unjust or the evil manager. I know the word steward, but we don't say steward anymore. If I say steward, you think peanuts and Coca-Cola on an airplane, right? How many of you admit that? How many of you like the preacher? If you hear steward or stewardess, that's what you're thinking, right? You don't think anything. We don't think administrator. We don't think manager. That's what it is. So these three characters here. I'll give you that one at the end. There are three characters here. There's the unjust, the unfaithful, the evil manager. There's the faithful manager, and there's the Lord. There's an unjust manager, the faithful one, and there's the Lord. And I want to pull those apart for a second. I'll pull those apart, all right? You with me? You with me? How many of you would give more if I'd start giving you an outline instead of having to write all this down? How many of you would do that? Okay. We'll see. We'll see. I've done that before, and I didn't like it, but you guys like it. So I'll see that. All right. So three characters here. Go back in the text. You still got your Bibles open? Go back to Luke 16. Luke 16. And he said, verse 1, to his disciples, there was a certain rich man, which had a steward, a manager, and the same was accused, slanderously accused, accused of being evil, that he had wasted his goods, not his own goods, but the stuff that belonged to the owner. It's fascinating to me. The guy trusted him, and now he accuses him of being incompetent. And he gives him warning, says, hey, listen, if this is true, you know, you're going to be out of a job, you're going to be out of a place to live. And here it all begins to unfold. It all begins to unfold. Why was he unjust? Why is he unjust? What does it mean to be a bad manager of our time, talent, treasure, and our reputation, our testimony? I think the first thing is that he showed his priorities because how he managed. We always show our priorities by how you manage somebody else's stuff. He didn't treat it well. You want to say you're a good steward or a good manager or whatever. When you do poorly with where you're employed at, when you do poorly with things that have been entrusted to you, that Bible says and calls him an unjust. He's unfaithful. It's not yours. You ought to take good care of it. You ought to do that. You ought to be an excellent employee. If you say, I am a Christ follower, nobody should blink at you. Nobody should wonder. If you're taking equipment, if you're doing these kind of things, why? Because you're taking care of it because you know it does not belong to you. And he says he's unjust, unjust. Let me help you. Being wasteful and being casual and being a thief, is the Bible says, is unjust, is evil. It's wicked. We ought to teach our children, our grandchildren. We ought to teach those folks around that this is it. You ought to be a model employee. But the first thing was, he showed it. He managed it this way. Now, let me help you. Everybody here except the Lord is a manager. Write it in big letters somewhere in your bulletin. Write it somewhere in your Bible. You don't own it. You don't own it. It isn't yours. Truth of the matter is, they just use it as, it's just flowing through here. It's going to be yours and it's going to be somebody else's. It calls it unrighteous. It's just, this is what belongs down here. This doesn't do you any good. You want it to go somewhere else. You want to take it with you. You're going to have to do differently here. It doesn't belong to you. It's somebody else's. This is our problem, isn't it? I'm going to take care of my stuff, my way, and do my thing. It's my time. It's my money. It's my house. It's my whatever. We got the first person personal pronoun problems, don't we? I and me and mine. He says, this is what I'm going to do. Say, what do you mean? Well, if you'll notice there, he does something unbelievably unethical. They wrote 100 measures of wheat and 100 measures of oil, and he looks at him and he says, hey, listen, you take your bill out and you write whatever on there, and then you're going to owe me. He cost him, if I understand it right, he cost him 20% on the one deal and he cost him 50% on the other deal. He cheated the owner to save his own neck. It wasn't his. By the way, how many of you, if somebody that was working for you all of a sudden cost you 50% of something or 20% of something else, real money, it's a debt. It's already been expended. How many of you that's going to make you real happy? Anybody besides me that's just, you're just mad thinking about it. Somebody owes you something, and then all of a sudden you're cheated out of it. That's what he does. He cheats them out of there. He showed his priorities. He acted like it was all his. He acted like it was all his. Say, what's unjust manager like? They act like it's mine. They act like it's mine. This is hard for us, isn't it? I want what I want. I want more than what I want. I want extra stuff. Gimme, 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 right? Anybody besides me? How many of you get real excited thinking about all-you-can-eat buffet like these people fixing to lose money? Anybody? Please, please, help me, help me. It's all mine. It's all mine. Again, we laugh at little kids or mad at little kids or we discipline little kids because they're going, ah. That's inbred, isn't it? You ain't got to teach a 3-year-old to try and let go of uncle's watch. It's mine. little thieves and little stealers already there, and they're tearing it up, and they're wanting to do these things. The act like it was all his. I mean, let me quick. I want to park here. He was only interested in himself. That's it. I'm about to be fired. I'm going to lose my apartment. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose all this stuff. But these people are going to owe me, and they're going to have to take me in. See, preacher, if this is really what's true of somebody who's evil when it comes to stewardship and generosity, then it's getting a little close to home. How many of you know somebody that's getting a little close to home for? See, the Bible's so practical. I don't want practical. I just want to feel good. No, you're going to feel great in a minute, but you're not going to feel good right now. He's only interested. This is just it. I can't do, I won't do because it's just about me. I'm not going to do anything to put me out. I'm not going to do anything to make me uncomfortable. I'm not going to do anything to stretch me. He's only interested in himself and his own comfort. And then here's what's crazy to me. The owner compliments him for being evil because he thought he was incompetent. And he says, oh man, I thought you were a dummy. But look at what you've done. You've cheated me out of my money. Maybe you are qualified to work for me. Man, you're shrewd. You're something here. Now listen, those of you who work in Christian environments around Christian people, this really strikes out at you. The rest of you who work with other people, you're going, yeah, that's about right. That happened last Tuesday. That happened last Thursday. Because it's all about, hey, you got one over on somebody, even though it was me. You did this. Man, you're really shrewd. You're really this. We get appalled by what we see in Wall Street. We get appalled by what we see in Washington, D.C. When the reality is, they're just evil people acting like evil people. Our problem is we say that we're Christ followers, and we keep trying to act like evil people and wonder why God doesn't bless us and why God's not happy with us and why we're unsatisfied and unfulfilled. Because why? Because he said, hey, that's a good thing. Man, you were really evil here. See, that's not what he's saying. You read it for yourself. It's exactly what he's saying. Man, good job. Way to do that. You hurt me, but man, you're sharper than I thought you were. I hear people every now and then will say, you need to talk to that guy because he's a shark. He's really awful. I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to do anything with anybody who's really awful or not. Everybody would nod your head with me here. You know, that guy over here, he just, man, alive. You know, his mom was late, one time, and he sued her. And I'm like, I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think you put that on a resume. Everybody with me here? And so we're like that. So he does this. So what's the last thing? Remember, the world values greed and the world values accumulation of wealth. There's a problem. Greed is never satisfied. You raise children, you raise grandchildren, that the only thing that matters is stuff, then they will never be satisfied. Never, ever, because it never, ever ends. Never, ever, ever ends. They said of Howard Hughes, he'd give it all away if he'd just have a little bit more. He became so concerned about germs and so phobic and things. They said that he ended up with just milk and crackers because of the ulcers and stuff like that. He wanted everything sterilized and stuff. He was so nervous about things. He was scared even of fingernail clippers. When he died, he talked about how long his fingernails were because he was scared to clip them. His greed turned into mania, and his mania turned into unhappiness. And ostensibly, the richest man in the modern era at that time died like a vagrant. Why? Because it never ends. Never ends. It's not about stuff. It's not about new jeans. Not about new this. Not about new car. Not about these things. It never ends. He says, all this is evil. Let me give you a real quick time out here. If this is how you're living your life, you need to understand Jesus has nothing kind to you to say about this. If you find yourself swinging this way and bent this way, then you may make a course correction. Because I got news for it. Because I see some things in Rodney's life here that I don't like in that. Sometimes when I say it's me and it's mine, and I'm happier when I have this versus the fact that I'm happy because I have Jesus, and then I'm happy about how much I have left instead of how much I've given. If I'm not real careful here, I'll act like this guy who the Bible says is evil. Nod your head if you're still with me. You still with me? Say amen. Amen. All right, so that's character one. So what's a faithful manager look like? Say, preacher, you done beat me to death this morning. I came, I was nice, I came in the rain. He wailed on me here. What's a faithful one like? He's got three attitudes. I want to give them to you. Just real fast. They're real fast. He's got three attitudes. The first attitude. His attitude toward others. You're in chapter 16 there. You're in chapter 16. He says, And the Lord, verse 9, and said, make to yourselves friends with the money, friends with the stuff of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you in everlasting habitations. It's worded a little funny. Basically, he's saying, use your money and invest it in others. Use your money and invest it in others. In other words, what we would call evangelism. Put your money to good use. Help folks who don't know what true riches are and use your earthly riches to help them understand this. Evangelism. You want to be a just, a faithful manager? Invest in evangelism. Invest in the things that help other people come to Christ. This is a good use. This is an attitude that's here. Now let me help you. That may be family. That may not be family. That may be total strangers. I'm convinced some of the things we've done, I'm convinced some of the young people have come to Christ in the back. Some of you don't even know their name, much less what they look like. I mean, you invest in them. I'm convinced some of our missionary works, you have never seen them. You've never understood that. But you're helping them. And he says, do this. Invest in this. Why? Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth where moss and rust does corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasure in heaven where nothing corrupts it, neither moth nor rust, and where thieves don't break through and steal. By the way, there's no locks in heaven. There's no security guards in heaven. There's no cameras needed in heaven. Why? Because God has taken care of it. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. What you love, you do for. Time, talent, treasure, testimony. Where your treasure is. Where you invest your money reveals your heart. Where you invest your money reveals your heart. Matthew Ting participates in a fundraiser, international fundraiser, national fundraiser. We've gotten to participate a couple of years, or Rusty's oldest daughter as well, and gotten to participate a couple of years. And last year got lost and actually closed the place down. How many of you on a round track you get lost? How many of you think that's just bad? And we also got involved with the protest movement. The Antifa people were there, and we made it in the news. And because we started walking with them accidentally, and I looked up, and there's video cameras and people from the News Sentinel and stuff. So somewhere in the archives is a picture of your pastor protesting with people going down with UUS. It was a good day. I don't know a lot of people in that fundraising world with Rusty's daughter and Matthew and all. But we just did it because we love them. That's all. Just help out and walk and get lost and march with the rebels. I'm not being funny. We really did march with those people. Why? Because that's where it invests at. That's where you show your heart. They pat you on the head. I'm just giving you an illustration. That is an easy thing for me to think about. I ain't got to worry about some other thing. I know them. I care. We care about them. And that's where it is. He says there's a second attitude there. It's an attitude about your money and you. Verse 10. He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. That's an axiom. That's a little saying. And he that's unjust in least is also unjust in much. He's basically saying if you'll do what's right with a little, you'll do what's right with a lot. And if you won't do right with a little, you're not going to do right with a lot. Let me say it a little differently. I'd give more if I had more. I'd serve more if I had more free time. I'd do this or I'd do that if. No. If you won't do where you are, you won't do later on. For one thing, you don't know it's going to get any simpler. I love the joke. I love the joke about the mean lawyer. We don't have any lawyers, do we? No, good. I love the joke about the mean lawyer. Mean lawyer was a very wealthy man. The guy came up to him, was trying to ask him for things, and he said, "Listen, sir, so we'd love it if you donate $500 to our campaign over here." And the guy looked at him and said, "Sir, did you know that my mother is critically ill and needed round-the-clock care from the finest specialist in the country for the last 5 years until she died. And the guy said, no, he's starting to back up. He said, did you also know that my brother had a rare and crippling disease from the time he was a teenager until the time that he died in his late 50s? It required constant specialists and extremely rare medicines and delicate procedures. And this has been a constant thing in his life until then. He said, no, sir. He said, listen, sir, I'm sorry to bother your time. He said, and if I wouldn't help my mother or my brother, what makes you think I'm going to help you? I'm sorry, that was the punchline. But anyway, you can laugh if you want to. I love the joke. You don't like, some of you thought that was great. Sorry about that. About the mean lark. When we're here, you say, man, I just do better. That's not true. If you're waiting on life to get easy, you'll be waiting a long time. He that's faithful and just, faithful in the least. How many of you ever thought that? Boy, if it was a little simpler, if I had a little more. I'm reminded we had a meeting some days back. We had a meeting and somebody came up and we got done and just broke my heart. Some folks I knew were struggling. They said, we want this to go and we're just going to do whatever we got to do. That's what he's talking about there. I'm in. I'm committed. There's an attitude about that. I'm almost done. We're right on time. There's a third thing there. The third thing. His attitude toward others, his attitude toward themselves, and then finally his attitude toward God. If I had more, I'd give more. No, that's not true. Character, not circumstances, determines your faithfulness. This is my commitment to God. Time, talent, treasure, and testimony. Attitude about your money toward God. I know it's warm in here. Let me help you out. Number three, no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. For either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and stuff. This is my attitude. My attitude toward God. God, I love you and not that. We don't do it here. We pass around things. We've got electronic, all that kind of stuff. It wasn't that long ago that people came up and they would do the things they did. They would come forward. Why? Because this is what they wanted. They saw it as an act of worship. This is me. This is my weekly reminder, my monthly reminder that I'm in love with you, Lord, and not in love with that. See, preacher, you're preaching real strong this morning, real hard. Listen to me. I think it's easier to write a check and it's easier to put in 100 than it is to give your life to God. And I think when you give your life to God, then everything else should get in line. Nod your head if you believe that. Nod your head if you believe that. But we constantly struggle with whatever. I said faithfulness is hard and it's rare last week. And God is faithful, and so we take our cues from Him. Let me help you. If all you hear is preacher wants us to give more, you missed the whole point. I gave you this. This is how an evil manager comes out. And this is how a faithful manager comes out. We're all managers. You can't say that you're right with God and you don't care about the things He cares about. You can't say you're right with God and it's all your time and you can't be bothered and you can't be dependent upon it. You can't say that. You can't say that I love all this stuff and I can't do anything over here. You have a heart problem. You don't have a financial problem. You don't have a time problem. You don't have a treasure problem. You got a heart problem. No man can. What's he say there? He doesn't say figure out. He doesn't say add up. He doesn't say calculate. He says no man can love two masters. Who you serve is who you love. And if you're serving the lady in the mirror, then you've got an issue. And if you're serving the other end of your phone or other end of your credit card, you got an issue. You're serving Jesus. No man can love two masters. It's not what you possess, but what possesses you. A person can't be a slave of God and a slave of stuff. I'm convinced there are people who make $20 and $30 a week and $300 or $400 a month who are absolutely consumed by what some of you think is a whole little bit of money. I know some folks I think make five and six figures. and they can't give it away fast enough. Let me help you. I know some folks who are so generous with their time because they believe God has been good to them. And who guard that testimony at work and in their home and with their family because they would never want to hurt the name of Christ. They would never want to say something ugly, never want to use any profanity, never want to muddy the water that is the beautiful pool of Christ and His love and forgiveness. And there are people who just give of their talent. And they do things even here behind the scenes that nobody knows about. And they do that because they love Him. Why? Because you can't love God and whatever else is in that blank. See, if you're going to be faithful, He gives us the two mirrors here. Where do you line up? Hey, preacher, you said, well, you feel good. I hope you feel good because the God who loves you is the one who's creating you the heart to be faithful. Because the God who wants you to follow Him has given you the love for Him that outshines any shiny bauble here. And where you wasted it and used it on things that really didn't matter, now you can take it. Now it's a wonderful tool and not a master anymore. And you can use it to bring honor and glory to God. That's the change. That's the switch. I want to do what I do so that I bring honor and glory to Him. You can't say I love God and still say what's mine is mine. Instead, you say what is yours, Lord, is all yours. And anything you let me have to manage it. To manage it. I ask you this morning, we start off, and again, start off this month, and we've got another one or two of these before we're done. And I've got another place I want to take you next week, Lord willing, if that's where you're at. Look right here. But it doesn't start here. And doesn't start on the watch. And doesn't start in the calendar. It starts right here. It starts between your belly button and the top of your head. And if you've never asked Christ to save you from your sins, and if you've never said, Lord, I believe what you say about yourself in the Scripture, if you've never said that, then you got everything backwards. And it's hard to love someone you don't know. This is your morning. This is your opportunity. God, I love you. God, I want to love you because I believe you've loved me. I believe you did it not because of anything I've done that was good, but because you are good. Not because I've been faithful, because you are faithful. And that's where you start. 2 Corinthians, we didn't read it, I flashed on the screen. Not that they did what? They gave first to themselves to God and then to us. That's the service. That's the plan. That's the order. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful here. This most practical of areas. Would you pray with me this morning? Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. I'm done. I want to give you just the opportunity to think and respond.